straighten out a few things. So, yeah, I want to... So I can't talk and write at the same time. Ah, it's so amazing how God really takes charge and starts orchestrating things, and it's so neat. So, we are in a war, right? And there's more. There's more. I love the songs, you know, Lord, let your glory fall in consuming fire, and there must be more than this, and there is more. And it's not that there's, I'm not saying there's, let's see here. I won't concentrate on what I'm not saying. There's a war out there that needs to be fought, and it's fought so that we can be set free more and more. We are fully free, but we need to take hold of that freedom. We need to walk that freedom out. We have, the enemy has already been conquered, and now we need to walk it out and conquer it. I've shared it before where God says to the Israelites, I've given you the land in front of you, but then he says basically, now go take it. And he leads them to different cities to take over, and they need to fight the fight. They need to win the battles. They are called to draw their swords sometimes. Sometimes they're called to march and praise and worship. Sometimes they march in silence. Sometimes they're shouting at the end of it, you know, with Jericho and Jericho Falls. And so there is this place of, okay, you've been given victory, now go take hold of that victory. And it is a battle. Again, it's not just this place of, well, everything will fall into our lap. It is a battle. And so even as we were praying before, you know, and okay, yeah, today we prayed for a certain young individual, like, you know, but other days it will be like we call someone up and I need prayer. Like, can you gather around me in prayer? And can we gather around each other? And sometimes it will be that I fight this fight today alone, or not ever alone, because I am walking with God and the Holy Spirit lives in me. But I might fight, and then there might be wisdom given where I need to call in the reinforcements. You know, Lily has shared often in the middle of the night, she'll give Larry the old elbow, and I don't know if you have rib protectors or something, but, you know, and hey, I need prayer, and that's good. But we need to understand that there is a battle. There is a battle around us, and there is a battle in us as well, okay? So it goes back to the teaching that, like, a few years ago, the temple of God. When you were saved, when you gave your life over to the Lord, you were born again, right then and there, and the Holy Spirit came to live in you, and it's in your Holy of Holies, it's in your spirit, that the Spirit of God came and has made his dwelling with you, and that's where the presence of God is in you. And then, but we are not just the Holy of Holies, we are also the holy place, or the inner court, and the outer court. The holy place being our soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and the outer court being what we see is our flesh. And in these two areas, it is not yet. It is a promise that we will be fully set free and everything will belong to the Lord, and sin and death and the devil himself will be thrown into the lake of fire and be done with forever. But it's not yet. And so we see In a very real and practical way today, and I guarantee you, all of us, I hope, we can see, like, even as we pray for someone else, we see the battle going on within us as well, you know? And just because someone's young and cute and all that doesn't mean they're not going through a battle. They are, you know? And the enemy is brutal. The enemy is horrible. The enemy doesn't care whether you're a young child or an old person, you know, that's on their deathbed. Like, the enemy wants to make it as brutal for us as he can, and he wants to win as, or he wants to keep us from our inheritance as much as he can. And he will fight against us, and his fight is with lies and with deceit and with getting his hands in us and on us, and he crouches at our door and he looks to devour us. Randy and I were talking about spiritual warfare a little bit this past weekend, and he said something like, I just always thought this way, and so just automatically I said, yeah, that's the way I see it. Because he talked about how I wonder if there are, like, the enemy is just like on the outskirts looking for an open door, looking for an open window, just seeing how he can get in. And he mentions the verse in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, where the Lord is talking with Cain. He says, sin is crouching at your door, and it longs to have you. And so it's not just sin in a general sense. Like, the Lord is talking about sin as if it's a person, and it really, in some ways, it is. Now, I want to head off any wrong thinking here. Like, it's not always the devil, okay? And actually, we can't blame any of our sin on the devil. It's all our stuff, and we have to take ownership of it. We have to take responsibility for it, okay? But in a sense, sin is crouching at your door. The one who wants you to sin, the one who is, hates you, and he wants to overtake you. And in Peter, in 1 Peter, it talks about, yeah, that our enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And so even as we are here right now, worshiping the Lord and singing praises to him and dedicating our lives to him again, and they, like, just not, I don't want to say it that way, because sometimes people get the idea of, I need to dedicate myself again, Lord. I need to dedicate myself again. I might have undedicated myself. It's like, no. It's just like I tell Carly and I love her every day. And it's almost like in those loving moments and that, it's almost this, I just give myself to you again. You know, I commit myself to you again, even though I never gave up that commitment. So we're praising him, and the Lord's anointing is pouring out, and the Spirit of God is moving, and angels are protecting, but I guarantee you, and on the outside, the enemy is prowling. And he's looking, he's saying, how can I get in there? How can I get in there? And the enemy that we carry with us, okay, and we do, the enemy that we carry with us, Paul in Romans chapter 7 talks about, like, I want to do certain things, and the things that, and then there's other things that I don't want to do. And I find myself sometimes when the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't seem to do those things. And I'm in this quandary. And he talks about how he has come to the conclusion that it's the sin living within him. And again, I think of Genesis, where sin is crouching at your door. And then Paul saying in Romans 7, it's the sin living within you. Let me just read that quickly here. So I find this law at work when I want to do good. Evil is right there with me. And I remember doing a study on that word. And if I'm remembering correctly, it's not just evil in a generic sense, but the evil one. Like a person. But I would have to look at that again. I wasn't planning on talking about this morning. So, but it's not just evil in a general sense. Evil has a name. Okay? And again, I don't want to slip into the other ditch, though. Okay? There's two ditches, always ditches, right? I don't want to slip into the other ditch and say, well, it's always the enemy's fault. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make us do anything. Especially as believers, the devil can't make us do anything. But he can strongly suggest and he can push. Okay? But he says, okay, so evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, okay, in the Holy of Holies, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner. And remember, we have the mind of Christ, it says in Corinthians. It's waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. But I actually missed the verse that I wanted to highlight. Verse 20. So back up a little bit. Now, if I do what I don't want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's the sin living in me that does it. Understanding again, can't blame the enemy, but it's this war going on inside. And the enemy wants to have us. And you know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes we think, we get caught in his lies, because one of his greatest weapons is the lies that he tells. Okay? He lies to us. And so sometimes he lies to us and say, well, no, the enemy isn't going to go after our little ones because they're so cute. As if cuteness matters to the enemy. But no, they're so young. They're not in this war yet. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. Or an older person who's, you know, lived 90, 95 years and just give him a break. Like, he's tired. He's getting older. He's on his own. I think of Ian, who used to come out on Monday nights, but he can't because of his health anymore, right? And sometimes we think, well, the devil will take it easy on Ian. The devil will just, you know, because he's older and you know, he's alone. The enemy will have pity. No. The enemy licks his chops. Oh, he's got neuropathy. He's got neuropathy now. I'll just give him a break. Because that's hard. That's hard to deal with. No, the enemy licks his chops and says, I wonder how far I can drag him down. I wonder how much I can tear his world apart before he finally goes to see the Lord once and for all. I wonder how much I can discourage him. I wonder how much I can beat him up. Like a lion prowling around looking for someone to devour. And predators, which the enemy is, predators always look for the ones who are weak or who are vulnerable. The ones who are separated from the rest of the herd. And we talk about isolating ourselves. And again, yeah, our temptation is to isolate ourselves. Do we not understand that that's when the enemy starts licking his chops? Because if we isolate ourselves, we're more vulnerable. I love that picture of us surrounding, you know. And actually, I should have said something, because when you said with the triceratops, and I think elephants do the same thing, I think many of those large animals do the same thing. They don't point inward, actually, they point outward. So all their horns and their tusks and their whatever is pointed outward at the predators coming at them. And the vulnerable are protected in the middle, right? I was like, we got point outward, not inward. And, oh, well, you know. But the enemy comes, and he's looking for a way in. And that's where, when we are hurting, when we are wounded, we need to gather around each other more. That's when we actually need to press in. But it's actually usually the opposite. When we feel great, we don't mind pressing in. Oh, yeah, how are you doing? Let's worship together. Woohoo! And yet when we're hurting, we're like, I want to be on my own. Where it's actually the opposite is, okay, I'm doing great. You know, mind you, we don't want to stay away then either. But the enemy is looking. And the sin within us is looking. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, mentioned this verse a few times a while ago, but talks about how do not give the devil a foothold. Okay? So we have this reality. We are a temple of God. God lives in our spirit, but then our inner court, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's where we are working out our salvation, like it says in Philippians. And when the Lord says to us, don't give the devil a foothold, it won't be in the spirit. The enemy can't get into our spirit. That's our place of communion with God, and it fully belongs to God. It's in the place of our soul that he can get a foothold. In our thinking, in our emotions, in our will, what we choose, he can get a foothold. The word there is topos, where we get our word topography from. And it can be a war term. I don't think it necessarily needs to be a war term, but it can be where you gain a beachhead. And I think about like World War II and that, and you gain a beachhead, you gain that place on the beach that is secure, and then you launch your attack from there, deeper and deeper into the country that you're invading, or that you're trying to set free when it comes to the Allies in World War II. But you gain that beachhead. Well, the enemy wants to gain a beachhead in our soul, in our thinking, in our mind, in our will, in our emotions. The emotions, at least for me, that's the hardest place. Because emotions, for some reason, I don't know, like maybe it's just us, those of us who are emotional people, like more, we're more vulnerable in those areas, but you can't pin them down. Sometimes a thought, you can pin it down, at least I can, like, okay, that thought is wrong. Here's the chapter, here's the verse, it's very logical, kind of mathematical almost. Whereas an emotion is so personal. And yet, the enemy sometimes drives in there with Ruth, you've mentioned a number of times, a pity party. Like, where pity, self-pity. Or I've mentioned self-doubt what's the word I've used? We're insecure. An insecurity. And I can go through it logically. I don't know. I can go through it logically why I should not be insecure. I can go through all of it. I can write it down on a piece of paper. There is no reason for me to be insecure. And yet the feeling of insecurity is so deep that I'm so vulnerable to it. And I can't logic my way out of it. The enemy wants to get a beachhead. He wants to get some, and then start invading my land from that place, from a false thought, from a false feeling, a false emotion, so that I start choosing for him, and it gives him more and more place. The enemy wants to take us over. The enemy wants to destroy. But praise God, we're more than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror, you're more than a conqueror. You've been given everything you need in Christ Jesus. Everything. There's nothing more that he has to give you. Like, he can't give you any more than what he's already given you. Now, we can take hold of more than we are currently taking hold of, but he has given us the keys to the kingdom. Every door is available to us. Every opportunity, every spiritual weapon is available to us. Everything. But have we taken hold of it? 2 Corinthians 10 talks about how we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And it talks about how we don't fight this fight, we don't fight this war like the world fights the war. We have been given spiritual weapons, and they can tear down strongholds. We need to tear those strongholds down. We need to believe correctly. We need to act correctly. And so that means where, okay, so some practical things. That means when we are feeling hurt, we need to pick up that phone. We need to put it out there. Like, not to the world. I really encourage you, don't use... Like, I have many friends, according to Facebook. Right? Many, many friends. And I just feel for some people. I feel for some people because they throw everything on Facebook. I have some friend in BC who just sometimes just throws it on Facebook. Just and it's like, oh. I believe in sharing with the body, but in a safe place. And so, you know, like I think of on Facebook for us, we have a little Emmanuel Grace Facebook. You know, put it out there. Reach out for prayer. Ask. Get together. For those of us who maybe get that thought of, hey, I should reach out to that person. You know what? You should. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit leading you to just come alongside and put an arm around and, hey, let's walk over here to a safe place. Yeah, I see you wandering over that way. Don't go there. Come on back. Let's come back this way. The enemy's over there, and he's just tearing people apart over there. You don't want to go there. where we take those thoughts captive, take emotions captive, make them obedience to Christ. What I love doing is, does this feeling or does this thought measure up to Christ? Does this thought that I'm having, and for me, it's not so much thoughts anymore, it's feelings. Like, that's my vulnerable spot. Does this feeling measure up to Christ? Does this emotion measure up to Christ? Is this God speaking right now? You know, is it God speaking when I feel insecure in my relationship with Carlene? Is that God? Is that Jesus leading me? Is that the Holy Spirit pouring his anointing down on me so that I feel insecure in my marriage? No. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so I take that thought captive and I say, in the name of Jesus, you're not from God. Get out. It's like finding that spider in the house. I'm going to go the other way with the analogy, you know. And it's like, you don't belong here, you know. And then, you know, or toss it out, like, get out. It's like if you come home and you find a squirrel in the house. You get rid of it. Find raccoons in the attic, you know? I know I'm not just talking hypothetically here. You get rid of it. And then what do? After you get rid of it?
Block up the holes.
That's exactly right. You toss it out. This is not your home. This is not the way I want my home to be. This is not the way the Lord wants my home to be. Get out in the name of Jesus. You have authority. And if you find that the enemy is holding on to something and it just can't get up, what's it holding on to? Why can it stay here? What in the world is going on? And then as I've prayed through some of these things, well, I've been feeding it. Or I toss it out and then I'm like, oh, you're so cute, come back in. You know? And I open the door to it. I invite it back in. Sometimes as I've been praying for others, at times it's like I pray over them and I want to share, like, just as we're praying for people. So again, whether they're little or big, whether they're young or old, doesn't matter. You can't overcome their will. We don't want to pray those prayers. The person has to choose themselves. Okay? You can pray for a person, but you can't choose for them. But like, they need to choose to get rid of whatever's in there. It's ultimately that battle of, like, me and Jesus, you and Jesus against the enemy. We can come and support, but you have to choose. I have to choose for my life. Because sometimes you get there and you find a stronghold from the enemy, right? And I've had this in me. I still have it. It's funny. Whenever I've read Romans 7, I've thought, man, Paul is darn near schizophrenic. Because he's talking as if he's two different people, right? But I get that. Like, I don't want this, but it's something else deep inside me says, yes, I do. No, I don't. Yes, I do. I like the self-pity thing. I totally get. It's kind of soothing. It's a sick kind of thing, absolutely, but it's soothing. It's like, oh, Lord, no, I don't want that. And sometimes you ask the enemy, like, why are you able to stay? And you find out that because the person wants me to stay. So we examine ourselves. We look, why is the enemy able to do this? And we take those thoughts captive that don't measure up to Christ. We take those emotions captive that don't measure up to Christ. And we say, get out. Because the goal, as we are working out our salvation, the goal, okay, is to have as much communion with God in our soul as we do in our spirit. Because there's perfect communion going on in there. Even though I know we don't fully recognize that, we fully don't realize that, but the glory that's in our spirit, because of the Holy Spirit living in there, we want to flood our soul. We want to flood our mind, our will, and our emotions. And so whenever we find something that doesn't belong to God, we need to be like Josiah in the Old Testament, and they went into the temple of God, and they see the idols, you know, Baal idol, that doesn't belong, toss it out. Oh, these writings from a false religion, oh, toss that out. Paintings from the, you know, and I'm not talking the physical things right now, I'm talking about like our heart stuff and our thoughts and everything, we toss it out. In the name of Jesus, get out, get out.
So I just wanted to share something in Mark that I was reading where the Pharisees saw the disciples and they were eating food before doing a ceremonial washing and
yeah.
They're all bent out of, you know, out of joint because they saw this happening. And so Jesus was saying, like, you know, you put aside the commands of God just to honor your traditions, right?
Yeah.
You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. And that's really the story. But then what is, you know, sitting with me is, he was saying that's food that you're putting in and into your belly. That's not what makes you unclean. What makes you unclean, don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean, for it doesn't go into the heart, into his stomach. What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. Or from within, out of man's heart, come evil thoughts and all those things. And that's, right, like that's what we're fighting constantly, right?
Right.
Is that old?
Right.
Like you talk about that battle within, right? So, and then it, like you pull all the scriptures in together, right? So that's all happening. Okay, no, bring that to God, right? No.
Yeah.
Like you said, that doesn't belong. It's like, God, that's, I don't want that. And don't let that come out of you, right?
That's right. Well, and the thing is, so the word there for hearts, it talks about out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks,
yeah.
I think is a similar one, but that's the Matthew passage,
yeah.
Like that I'm quoting there. And so out of the evil within us, that's what then comes out of us. So the word is there, heart, it's cordia, and it, like it's used over and over again in the New Testament for soul, like our soul, and again, our mind, our will, and emotions. And it is this place of, yeah, there's still stuff in there that needs to be worked out. The spirit, I'm one with God. I am pure. I am holy. I am set apart. I am the temple of God. He dwells fully within me. He doesn't dwell partially within me. He dwells fully within me. And now we want to see this working out in our soul. And as we see evil things come out of us, you know, so we talk. It's like, ooh, where did that come from? Ooh. What in the world was that? What was that outburst? What was that emotion? Why am I acting like a little child right now? Why am I acting like a little baby right now? And that's what I've had to struggle with, you know, of acting like a little not spoiled, that's the wrong word, like a hurt child. It's like, is that the man of God that I'm called to be? No. Where is that coming? Well, it's coming from within me. It gets stirred up, and it comes to the surface, and it's like, oh. It reminds me of the one time Carly and I were praying. I've shared this story before where we were praying. We were both in bed. I was having a hard day. I asked her to pray for me. She starts praying. I start getting more angry. As she's praying, it's a total spiritual battle. Talk about breaking through, right? Total spiritual battle. In my mind, the thoughts are coming. Tell her to just shut up. Go to bed. You know, kind of thing. And I'm getting more and more frustrated, not anything she's done. It wasn't even a thing between us, but like this is what's rising up. And then finally, in my mind, as she's continuing praying, she doesn't know this is going on inside me because it's dark and I'm just lying beside her. And that I finally, in my praying in my mind, I say, Lord, I agree with her. I forget exactly what she's praying, but prayers of freedom, prayers of deliverance, you know, and all that. Finally, I agree. I don't want this, Lord. And I felt this weight come off my chest. I didn't even realize that there was a weight on my chest, but it's like the demon was sitting right on my chest, and I could feel the physical weight of him and lift it off, and immediately it went from dark to light in my soul. Like, I went from anger to joy. I went from frustration to peace in a moment. And then God gives me this vision of a pot of gold, like a cauldron, and it was molten, but the dross had risen to the top, because that's what happens when you melt gold or melt silver, and all the impurities start coming to the top. And then this big ladle came and just took one scoop of that garbage, that dross, out. Just one. Didn't clear it all out at that point. But one scoop was gone. And I want to be purified from all the impurities in me. All the stuff that's in my soul still, from the old man. I want it all to be gone. I want to kick the enemy out. This doesn't belong to Jesus. This doesn't belong to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, away. And when one of the enemy holds on to the doorpost and says, no, I'm not leaving, it's like, Lord, why is that allowed to stay? Well, that one's been in your life a long time. And you have fed him really well over the years. And he's pretty strong. Keep praying. Keep tossing him out. Or they'll show you're still agreeing with this one in this area over here. So yes, your words are saying get out, but your actions are saying come on in. And the enemy isn't really intimidated by your words. It's the heart stuff. If he was only intimidated by our words, if it was all about our words, then man, what would our mute brothers and sisters in Christ do? They don't have words. They can't voice it. It's all about what's going on in the reality of our lives. And so, okay, I ask forgiveness. I renounce that. I give that up, whatever it is. I say no to it. Now, in the name of Jesus, get out. We take away the places where the enemy is hiding. We kick it out. Get out of my life. One thing that Randy has said, if you've listened to Randy over the years preach, there's a few phrases he loves using. One of them's love me, right? And then he'll proceed to tell you what's wrong in your life and that kind of thing, or what needs to be fixed and that. Another one he has used, I don't think in sermons as much, but sometimes when we talk and that, he has come up to people when they're talking and he'll all of a sudden, if there's an unholy confrontation, this isn't just about I disagree in that, but like where there's a real spiritual battle, so you know it's spiritual. So even when Morgan shared before, it's like when she was sharing about the younger, it was this place of this this isn't just, yes, it's this age kind of thing, but it's not just that. There's a spiritual dynamic to it, okay? So when Randy has gotten in those places where he knows it's a spiritual dynamic, sometimes he'll say to the person that he's talking with, okay, right now, just in the name of Jesus, who am I talking to right now? And he doesn't say it facetiously. He doesn't say it to hurt the other person's feelings. He's quite serious about it. Like, what demonic presence is prompting this kind of speech right now? What demonic influences are encouraging these thoughts or these emotions or this exchange? Because this isn't just one person talking to another person. This isn't just a friend talking to a friend. There's something spiritually, like, there's a spiritual dynamic that's being pushed here, and it's of the enemy. Who am I talking to right now? And if we can learn that, okay, A, not to be embarrassed by that, not to get self-defensive about that. Hey, you know, oh, that's mean. I'm hurt. Because that's what the enemy will do. Oh, that hurts. No, like, we want what's best. I want what's best for me. I know you want what's best for me, and I want what's best for you. I want us to live out the freedom. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. I want us to live out the full freedom. He's already paid the whole price. We might as well enjoy the whole freedom, not just part of the freedom. Like, it's like going to the Mandarin and just taking, you know, I'll just take a little bit here and a little bit there. Okay, I'm done. You know what? The same price was paid whether you just eat those two little things and you walk away hungry, or you fully feast like you should when you go there. Okay? So, like he's already paid full freedom. It's already all done. I want to be fully free. And so when you see those things rising up in you, recognize the spiritual dynamic. Now, if you see it rise up in someone else, may God give you wisdom whether you're supposed to bring that up or not. You know, because there is a time and a place, and sometimes yes, sometimes no. But I still remember You know, like our prayer this morning really reminded me, I think I've told Andrew about this. You tell me if I told you, but you were really small. And I've shared this with the group before. He was really small. We were in the backyard of Randy and Darla's place, and Randy and I were sitting there. And I had said to Andrew, come on over, or something like that, or stop that. I don't know, some dad kind of thing. I think he was doing something that he shouldn't have. But again, he was just young. And he walked, he kind of gave a grin, and then went the other way, right? And I was like, oh, that's so cute. Like, because he was a very cute baby, you know. He's not a cute baby now. But anyways, and Randy looked at me and said, now, how would you handle this? Randy looked at me and said, there was something demonic about that. And he was right. It was a stronghold that I think he saw in both Andrew and myself. And it was this, like on my part, and I think on his part, this playing cutesy with the enemy. Rebellion is rebellion. And it's never cute. It's never beautiful. It's always destructive. Always. And so this place of when I see the enemy in my life, what will I do with that? How I can recognize the enemy in my life is exactly what we see in Romans 7. When I start doing things that I don't want to do, or I start feeling things I don't want to feel, and I know God doesn't want it for me, and I know I don't want it for me. Well, there is only one option left. It's the sin living within me. It's the enemy that has crouched and found a way in. He's found a topos in my life. He's found a beachhead. And he's launching attacks from that. And he's playing me like a puppet sometimes. Pulls on my strings. It's like, in the name of Jesus, get out. I don't want this for my life. God doesn't want this for my life. Get out of my life.
Sometimes I say, I'm not your puppet.
That's right. Puppet. Yeah. To which he sometimes says, oh, yes, you are.
Wait till you see what I do an hour from now.
Right. And then it's like, you know what? We take out our sword of the Spirit and we say, no, I belong to Christ. I am made to be holy. I am holy and I am being made holy. And I choose God. I chose him and I choose him. Just like I said before, you know, over 25 years ago, I chose Carlene, but I choose her every day. I take out the sword and say, okay, yeah, you're pulling my strings. I can feel it. Cut off the strings. And sometimes others need to come along. I remember one time I was being prayed for down in Indiana. And my friend Dan started praying for me. He said, Kevin, I just see an arrow in your back. I'm just going to pull it out. You know? And I get this picture, even as I share about the strings, you know, in some of the movies, they shoot an arrow, but a string is, or a rope is attached to it as well. You know? And like maybe the rope was already cut that was pulling me back, but the arrow was still there. And he comes and just prays for me and just prays over that wounding. And so sometimes we need a friend to come along, sees things that we can't see. But anything that's not from the Lord, don't play cutesy with it. Anything that you know is not from the Lord, don't just push it aside and say, well, everyone has a bad day, or everyone does, or, you know, this is just life. No, it's not life. And that's a lie that the enemy has just spread everywhere. Well, that's just life. That's just the way it goes. No. I'm sorry, but no. That's not the way life is supposed to go. When we see things that are not, that will not be in the kingdom of God, this is how I often measure it, right? When heaven comes to earth, and when Christ reigns, and when I am in my glorified body, and then even in the age after that, after the millennial reign, where all sin, death, and Hades and the devil himself is thrown into the lake of fire and we're in the next age, what's going to be a part of that age? What emotions, what feelings, what thoughts are going to be a part of that age. And if what I'm going through right now inside or whatever doesn't look like it's going to belong in that age, you know, selfishness, pride, arrogance, rebellion, I say, no, that doesn't belong in me now then. If it doesn't belong in me then, it doesn't belong in me now. And so in the name of Jesus, get out. And I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. I take every thought captive. The Psalms, I still and quiet my soul. I take charge over my inner being. And when I say that, I take charge of it only to give charge of it over to God. But I don't let the enemy take charge. I don't let my flesh take charge. I beat my body into submission, and sometimes that's a really hard one for me. So the flesh desires certain things. No, I'm not giving in to you. We are going to grow and live this life in a way that prepares for the kingdom come. And so whenever we find anything that doesn't belong, we come against it. We fight against it. So whether if it's in ourselves or in our children, we fight for each other. We need to fight for each other, not fight each other, okay? Big difference. There's a lot of fighting each other going on in the kingdom of God right now, in the church. Not in the kingdom, but in the church. No, we don't fight each other. We fight for each other. And yeah, sometimes in that, sparks will fly and that's fine. We fight for each other. We pray over our children. Pray over our grandchildren. Pray over our friends' children. Pray over each other. Intercede for each other. Stand in the gap for each other. Push the enemy back. Get the enemy off the beach and throw him into the sea. Say to this mountain, toss yourself into the sea. Get out of here. Go. Leave. Become very active, not passive. I know that as Canadians, we are so naturally passive. We are in a war where the enemy chews the passive up and spits them out. We cannot be passive in this war that we are in. I'm not saying don't enjoy life. Enjoy life. The beautiful thing about fighting this war, or the ironic thing, is we can fight this war and still be at perfect peace and enjoy the stillness of God at the same time. It's pretty amazing. Fight the good fight. Are there any questions or comments?
When I was little, my mom told me or taught us a song. My mom told me something about like every girl or every boy should know. And it's like all about the devil. And I learned to hate him so.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, I've been singing that with Quinn and Ed, too, and it's a concept, you know, like, he will never, ever leave you if your heart is filled with truth.
Hmm.
So let the sun shine in, and the sunshine is Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's just that exact concept that we're talking about on a very simple basis, of course. But,
all of a sudden I hear Pebbles and Bam Bam singing that song.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the Flintstones?
They did.
I know they did.
Weird.
But it's true. Again, I don't want us to go to the other ditch where we're so afraid of the enemy, because understand, we don't need to be afraid of the enemy at all. Like, not at all. We don't walk in fear of him. He's already defeated, and the Lord lives in us. But we need to walk out that victory. Okay, so not walking in fear, not walking, oh, the devil's going to get me, but walking in this holy place. Yeah, Julie.
I think something that I struggle with and that is important is when you're in the middle of, like, the enemy's attack,
yeah,
is not to think that you're evil.
Right.
Because that's what I
that's a big,
start thinking.
Right.
And that's what I, like, that's where he gets me.
Yeah.
I think
right.
worse, you know, and then it kind of starts to gain momentum
yeah.
almost then. And it's kind of like you started giving up because it's like, oh, well, yeah. what's the use? Like, you know, it's me, I'm evil or whatever. not saying that. It's just like, and then I've got to like go to Jesus and fix my eyes on him
yeah.
and know that I'm a child of God. And yeah, and that's how I have to fight.
Yeah. Because again, he comes at us with lies. And most of his lies are half-truths. Even the whole,
yes.
you're evil. You know what? Jesus called me evil, too. Even though you are evil fathers, you know how to give good gifts and that. But what the enemy means by it is you're irredeemably evil and the Lord hates you. What the Lord means by it when he talks about that kind of stuff is, yeah, there's still stuff to be worked out in you, but don't worry, I've got this.
Yeah, like we're not evil anymore.
No. Yeah. You're my children. Now, is there stuff that we need to work through? Absolutely. But you're like, we are his children. We belong to him. He lives in us.
Like my ear is to him at that point, though. So, you know what I'm
yeah.
supposed to?
Yeah. God. Yeah. And so when we see a lie, when you know, we just in the name of Jesus, get out. I refuse to listen to that lie. Get out. Get out. And then he'll be like, oh, but no, out. No. Don't even let him talk. Don't listen to him. Don't reason with him. Don't argue with him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It's like, and the only thing you really at that point I find, for me at least, to say to the enemy is, in the name of Jesus, get out. Now, there are other times in Scripture, and we don't have enough time to go into it today, maybe as we go along in this, but yeah. How are you holding on and different things like that? And the Lord asks the one demoniac, you know, what's your name and different stuff like that. But in general, they just, no, in the name of Jesus, leave. Leave. And we fix our eyes on Christ. But he will come at us with lies. Lie after lie after lie.
Yeah, I'm very encouraged by this morning. Thankful to God for bringing me to a place of more freedom in Christ today than I was before. And I just was reflecting on it this morning, actually, like, part of the reason why is because I'm understanding what it means to surrender to God. And in the surrender, and in the dying to my own way of thinking, my ruling my life, when I surrender that, that's where the freedom comes.
It really is.
And it doesn't make sense, but it really is true.
Yeah, because the enemy wants to say, no, that's bondage when you give up yourself as a slave to God.
Yeah.
No, it's like as you're speaking, I see this tunnel, and it's called surrender, and at the end of surrender opens up into this wide place of freedom. But it's only through that entranceway of surrender and submission and allowing Christ to be Lord truly in our daily choices. So fight the good fight. Let me pray for us. Lord, we want to praise you for the finished work that you've done. Like, you have done it all, and you've provided everything we need. And but Lord, I have to admit that I have neglected a lot of your provision. Haven't even picked some of it up. Haven't used it, haven't walked in it, and I want to walk in it more and more. And I pray that for us. Lord, teach us how to swing a sword. Teach us how to use the shield of faith. Teach us how to dress properly in your armor. Lead us in warfare, Lord God. Teach us to fight the good fight. And this is not just for us, Lord. It's for your glory. And then for the freedom of others. That we could fight on behalf of others and see other people set free. Lord, we want to submit ourselves to you, and we look forward to, yeah, we just look forward to walking with you into battle. And then we really look forward to the day where all battles are done and we just enjoy you. And I look forward to your coming, Jesus. Oh, I so look forward to your coming, seeing you face to face. We love you. In your name, amen.